This is VOCM, a Stingray radio station. Beep, 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 yeah.
Good afternoon. It is Carrie Hodder with you here on your VOCM. And this afternoon, for the next 30 minutes, we are going to be talking about Metrobus. In studio with me, I've got Counselor Hope Jamieson. Welcome, Hope.
Hi.
We're also going to be speaking with David Brake with the Public Transit Authority. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And also Mr. Dan Meads. He is the Provincial Coordinator with Transition Houses, or with the Transition House Association, rather. And I, of course, am Carrie Hodder. Hope you're all doing well out there, despite the weather that we are seeing. And, of course, on a day like today, a lot of people probably won't drive. Metrobus would be a good option for a lot of people if they want to get where they're going safely. We did see a big uptick in Metrobus ridership, about 38% increase, I believe, after the state of emergency. And now we're going to try and keep this going. Keep that momentum going. Is that correct? Am I in assuming that, Councillor Jamieson?
We're very focused on increasing ridership. And we have, before the state of emergency, actually, we saw 15 months of continuous more than 5% ridership growth. So I'm hoping that trend will continue and increase further.
Excellent. And, of course, we are going to see free Metro bus passes for low-income residents in the metro area, which is fantastic. Dan, what do you think about that?
Well, a slight correction. We're not going to see free Metro bus passes for every low-income resident, just those that are on income support, which is a great start. Obviously, if you're on income support, you're living significantly below the poverty line, and so it is a great way to begin this program. But there are an awful lot of people out there working for minimum wage and lower wage earners that are not going to qualify for this program. And so that's a great aspirational set, though, right? I think if we really want to talk about how this program, I'm sure, will be successful with income support clients, but I do think if we want to think about what the next step of this pilot is to make sure everybody living below the poverty line has free transit, and then, you know, a rate geared to income from the poverty line up, so that if you're a little bit above the poverty line, you pay a little bit for transit. If you're a lot above the poverty line, you pay a lot for transit. It seems to be the most easy way to make it work.
And how do you feel about this, Mr. Brake, about the income support folks going to be able to get the free Metrobus passes?
I think I agree with Dan. It's a great first step. I think there's a lot of other ways we can help, and not just people on low incomes. I think I'd like to see the discussion move onward from seeing buses linked so closely with low-income people. I'd like to see buses available to and attractive to everyone. And I think I like the idea of having different tiered levels, but I think that we could borrow from the airlines this idea of yield management and look at who's not using the buses, who's not likely to use the buses. They can use it free. What are there times when the buses aren't as full as other times? Well, why not make those free? And make the most out of what we are already paying for. The buses are there, we're paying for them. Get the revenue, sure, but make sure they're full of people who can use them.
Do you think that there is sort of a stigma attached to bus ridership and owning a bus pass here in the metro area? I mean, we are definitely a very car-driven society. It's very difficult to get around in all of Newfoundland and Labrador, really, if you don't have a car. Do you think that there's a stigma attached to people that ride the bus because they can't afford a car?
I think years of under-resourcing has made Metrobus the transportation of last resort, culturally speaking, for a lot of people. People ride the bus when they don't have other options, but it's ludicrous that every adult in our city should have to own a car to be able to get around. So we are working to change that. We're funding a frequent transit network, which means that 5 key routes have their frequencies increased to 15 and 30 minutes starting in the fall. So once the service is meaningfully functional as a way of getting around, I think we'll see that stigma start to change.
Yeah, I think it's already changed a little bit. It's certainly among my set of sort of downtown late 30-somethings is that lots of my friends who have sort of divested themselves of their cars are really proud of it. They recognize that there's an inconvenience to it, but they're really proud of the fact that now they're transit or bike commuters or a combination of both. And I'm a little envious of them. I haven't gotten there myself, but I do think it's a great aspiration for a lot of us. And I do think, you know, for a long time, it was really easy for lots of us to say, Metrobus service isn't good enough for me to consider this as an option. And I do think that's changing for a lot of people.
I noticed in the news last week, it was mentioned that Galway is going to be getting a bus service now. I guess that's because of the shops and stuff there. I live in Southlands, and we don't have Metro bus services in Southlands. Like, on my street, I can't walk out my front door and get the bus. But people in Galway will be able to do that, even though Southlands is a much bigger population. Is it because of the shops and stuff at Galway and all the people going to work there?
So we have service standards that relate to sort of who was likely to take the bus. There was a trial, I believe, in Southlands, and it didn't meet the service standard. Not enough people got on that route in order to justify maintaining it. Mm-hmm. We were hearing from workers in Galway that they were looking for a way to get to their jobs, knowing that, like, not everyone who works in a sort of retail kind of job is able to afford a car. So we decided to introduce the Galway bus to answer that need. So we'll see how it goes. We've split the Route 6 now, so we're altering an existing line, so it'll become Route 6, and then at the village it'll change to a different route, which will go to Galway and come back.
Okay, perfect. We're going to take our first break of this half hour here on your VOCM. We're with Councillor Hope Jamieson, David Brake with the Public Transit Authority as well, and Dan Meads, the Provincial Coordinator with Transition Health Association, and we'll be back right after this.
The Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
Carrie Hodder back with you once again. We're here with Hope Jamieson, David Brake, and Dan Meads. We were talking about Metrobus and public transportation in general. I'm going to go to the phones right now, David. Make sure that phone pod is up there for me, because Tom Badcock wrote a letter to the editor in the Telegram, and it was all about too many free rides, and he was talking about Metrobus specifically. Tom Badcock, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. Do you have any more comments to add, apart from what we saw in the Telegram?
No, I there's nothing, just to clarify a few issues. That I didn't write the piece because I thought that people with social assistance shouldn't deserve to get bus passes. That was the furthest thing from my mind. There clearly are people who are deserving of getting passes and who need them and will use them. My concern with the whole thing was the fact that some person in government, some person somewhere come up with this scheme to come out and blanket issue a bunch of bus passes to people who clearly were not going to use them, had vehicles of their own, and were going to end up selling these things. And I thought it was very, very, very poorly thought of. And that's why I voiced my opinion.
Where did you get that idea? Who put the thought in your head that they're going to go off and sell these bus passes?
Well, for the last 30 years, I've been the executive director of the hub, and I've been associated with people who are on social assistance, and not all of them, but there are some who will use any opportunity they can to get money and who take advantage of the system. For example, after I wrote the article, a taxi driver called me. He said, "Guess what, Tom? What?" He said, "I dropped a patient off at the health science yesterday. He was over for an appointment. Guess what he did? Went in and got a Tim Hortons, hopped in my car, and I brought him back home again." Hey, there's a lot of people out there who will do anything to take advantage of the system. And this is one of them. Some of the people on social assistance have vehicles.
Not all. You have to admit, it's harder for someone that's on social assistance to afford a vehicle. I mean, people are finding it hard to buy a bus pass at $78 a month, let alone affording, hundreds of dollars to spend biweekly or monthly on a car.
I said that, and that's exactly it. I got no disagreement with people, deserving people, but to blanketly put out bus passes to everybody?
How is the city supposed to cherry pick who gets one then and who doesn't?
That's not my responsibility, but somebody has to do it. Come on. Look, I've been around this 30 years. I've been in this program dealing with issues like this. People who were giving food chips, and then they would go outside my building and sell them for half the price. So not all of them, but some of them. So you got a problem here with blanketly giving everybody a bus pass. Like, I'll challenge anybody there. As soon as these things are issued, if somebody there is willing to pay me, I'll deliver them to you. I'll buy them because I have the people who will come to me and offer to sell them to me.
Hi, Tom. Dan Meads here. I appreciated the article that you wrote. I disagree with it line for line, but I appreciate that you had the courage to write it.
Tell me line for line where you disagree with it.
Sure. Let's start with the idea that some people deserve it and some people don't. I'd also like to take issue with the fact that you think that it's a blanket program. It, by definition, isn't a blanket program because everybody that's on social assistance is poor. And so by giving poor people benefits, that's not a blanket program. A blanket program would be saying, hey, every resident in St. John's gets a free Metro bus pass, which I would also think would be a great piece of public policy. But by giving Just let me finish.
Let me finish. You're taking line by line. You said it's not a blanket policy. It is a blanket policy. What came out with was the statement that all people on social assistance...
Right, there you go. Stop. Got it. All people on social assistance, not the people not on social assistance. And so that's why it's not a blanket policy. You've taken a group of people that are, by definition, living in poverty and given them a benefit that we know increases their quality of life. In some other cities, they've done... I'm sorry, Tom. I'm going to ask... It's hard because I'm in the studio and you're on the phone and I want to be respectful of your voice. But what I do want to make sure you hear is this. In some other municipalities, when they've done free transit or heavily subsidized transit in this way, what they've done is a survey of people after the fact and said, hey, has this low-income transit pass had an impact on your quality of life? We did one in Calgary when I worked there a few years ago, and what we learned is that 98% of people who were given a free or heavily subsidized transit pass, when asked if it increased their quality of life, 98% of people said that it did drastically. What we learned is that they were getting to more healthcare appointments, so there's a decreased cost on the health system. They were able to get their kids to school, so the education outcomes were better. All of these things happened because we provided a relatively inexpensive public service to people who we knew by definition couldn't afford it otherwise. And so it isn't a blanket policy. Everybody who receives this is by definition living in poverty. And nobody that gets this pass doesn't, quote, as you say, deserve it. Right? It's not about deserving or not deserving. Your humanity isn't based on whether or not you get to get around the city and get to your doctor's appointments and get to have a social life. And so, you know, I think it's great that you had the courage to write this thing, and I'm glad that you did. I think it's prompted a lot of good conversation. I just really feel like what we need to make sure – the last point I wanted to make regarding this was that, you know, you seem very, very concerned with people selling these bus passes. I'm not at all concerned about it. If we've got people in our communities that are so poor that they need to sell a free bus pass for $20 – man, they really need that $20, Tom. And it's not my place to tell them they shouldn't have it. And so would I'd prefer it if they'd use the transit. But if they don't need it because they have a car and they decide to sell the bus pass, hey, man, I'm okay.
Well, why don't you just give everybody $100?
Well, because that's a different thing. If you want to talk about guaranteed annual income as a policy alternative, I think that's a great thing to talk about. $100 isn't going to make a big difference, but we can find a number that would.
Can I respond to what you said?
Please.
Yep, go right ahead.
Sure. Now, what you said was that you did your surveys and you did them in Edmonton and Calgary and all of those places, and it worked well. And yes, it does work well for those people who will use it. I have no argument with that. And there are a lot of people out there who will use it. My argument against the program is that you are not discriminating. And by discriminating, I mean giving it to people by asking people, could you use a bus pass?
But, you know, yes, not discriminating, Tom. We would think that would be a good thing. We're not discriminating against anybody with this.
That's what leads to abuse, and it will be abuse. You know, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Okay.
And I think that the bulk of people that voiced opinions to me overwhelmingly and in the Telegram about this piece that I were the fact that what they were saying was that they had no objections to the people getting the pass. What they had objections to was the fact that it was being given to everybody.
Okay, it's not being given to everybody. Again, just people on social assistance. I'm going to get David break in on the conversation here with the Essential Transit Association now, Tom. So, David, what's your response to that?
Well, I agree with what's been said previously about this. I feel it's, frankly, a little mean-spirited. But just as a practical point, the incremental cost of giving these away is really not large. We are paying already for the buses to be there. All we're doing is saying, you can ride on it for free or you can ride on it not for free. If you didn't have the money to ride on it to begin with, you now can. And until we're running with buses that are completely full, it's not costing us a lot.
Okay.
And the cost of trying to police and go into people's houses and check on whether they've got cars or not. On all of this is completely disproportionate to the benefit. It's much better to just let it go.
Excuse me, who's funding this? Is this thing funded by the provincial government or by Metrobus?
The province.
And do you know what the cost is going to be, the estimated cost?
It's
No, I have no idea.
I believe it's $2.1 million.
Okay,
that was the last figure I had.
So that's going to Metrobus. So the province will give a check to Metrobus for $2.1 million.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
So, of course, Metrobus is going to be in favor of it. Well, I would be, too.
So, no, I'm going to jump in there. So that's the estimated offset cost of administering the program. So we're not getting any significant upside from this. It's just keeping, we're not losing money that way. So the province is keeping us at the level that we believe that we would have been at otherwise had the program not existed.
And you talk about, Tom, you know, people abusing the system, as you mentioned, that person getting the taxi just to get a Tim Hortons at the hospital, which does seem ludicrous, certainly. But you don't know. I mean, maybe this will mean that people on social assistance that have these bus passes that are using them, they won't be able to avail of taxis, you know, down the road after they see how it all works out in the end. Would you be think that it would be of a benefit if that was the case?
Oh, certainly. You know, again, and I keep repeating this, I have no objections to such programs. I think most of the people have no objections. Where we have the problem with it is the fact that there's no control. I look at it this way, you know, and I use the analogy, of social assistance. You know, the mailman said to me the other day, a friend of mine on a particular street in St. John's, that every time the mailman comes by, the social assistance people say, "Have you got my set for life check?" Hmm. Well, that's the attitude some of these people have, simply because we don't have enough social workers in the system to monitor it and to see who should be on it and who shouldn't. So when you have programs that are issued so that everybody gets something, and there are a lot of people who really, really need it, and people who are going to abuse it, that's what happened. And I think this is what will happen here.
All right. Tom, I'm going to let you go now because we've got to get to a commercial break. Thank you for joining us today. And, you know, thank you for writing the article. I guess it did definitely spark a lot of conversation, which is what we're all about here on VOCM. But I hardly think that being on social assistance is anywhere near being set for life. Thank you very much. It is 12:50 now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to VOCM. I'm Carrie Hodder. Stay tuned.
The Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
Good afternoon. It is Carrie Hodder, and today we are talking all about Metrobus. We've got Councillor Hope Jamieson, of course, with the City of St. John's, David Brake with the Essential Transit Association, and Dan Meads, the Provincial Coordinator with Transition House Association. I'm going to go to the lines now for a comment from Lloyd. Hi there, Lloyd. How are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good, pretty good.
Good. And what is your comment on Metrobus?
My comment would be better if they had more for senior citizens. Like me, I don't get very much money, and I can't afford to get the bus all the time, but if I could get a free meal at the gathering place or something to help me through the month.
Okay, Lloyd, thank you very much for your comment. I'm going to pass that one over to Councillor Hope Jamieson now with the City of St. John's. What do you think? Should seniors ride for free?
It's definitely something that's on our radar. I think we want to give the low-income pass a minute to see how that impacts our service levels and what the capacity of the service up above and beyond that will be. And then I think it's absolutely a conversation worth having. We're aware that, you know, people age out of AASL and go on to guaranteed income supplement and things like this, and so they wouldn't be eligible for the low income pass program. So it is on our radar, and we're thinking about what might happen with that in the future.
Okay, thank you very much for that answer on that. We're going to go to line number four now, and Ron, you have a comment as well.
Yes, I want to throw my support behind Tom on his comments there. I don't disagree with the other side of the argument here, but I know Tom has got his ear to the ground on this. 30 years at the hub, he knows what's going on. You know, I know Lloyd just mentioned with a senior, and Hope mentioned about the GIS supplement tying in with income and stuff like that. It doesn't matter what the system is at all in the country, people will abuse it. And it's a great jumping off point here for low income earners. And but I know for a fact, like Lloyd mentioned, gathering place, I volunteered there. I stopped volunteering because when I was leaving, I could buy stuff that I was passing out in the parking lot.
People, all right, Ron, I'm going to
bring it out and sell it.
I'm going to let you go now, and we're going to give our guests here just a few minutes to respond to that and have some closing comments. I guess that half hour went really fast, you guys. So what do you say to that, Hope?
I think these anecdotes are just that, right? Like these are really straw man arguments, and I hear them from time to time. But just because a system can be abused doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to help people who need it. I recall during budget engagement a couple of years ago, there was a gentleman who said, like, I can't afford to take my kids on the bus to the grocery store. I think about him when I think about the low-income pass. So I'm not worried if a couple of passes end up on the black market, and we have come up with a couple of ways to handle that, and NL Housing is going to work through that as well, ASL well, rather. So I'm not super worried about that. I think that it's a good news story, and it's a fine start. You know, we're aware that there are still unmet needs, and that we're going to continue to consider how we can address those needs. But really, the eligibility here is determined by the province. This is a partnership that we're doing with the provincial government. So they've decided that this is how they want to start to chip away at this issue. So I'm looking forward to continued conversations to see how we can expand.
So Councillor Hope Jameson is not, in fact, standing on Signal Hill flicking out bus passes to everybody that comes by. Thank you very much for coming in. I enjoyed this conversation. Dan, some final comments from you.
What a state of being. We've got people in our province so poor that they're selling the donations they receive at the gathering place in the parking lot. And what a state of being we have that we think it's their fault that they're doing it, and we think the solution to that is to give them fewer benefits as opposed to more. I can't believe it.
Thank you very much for coming in today, Dan.
Thank you.
And now you, sir, Mr. Brake, what do you think about all this?
I agree with both of these good people, but I think that what will in the long run assure that we have good transit is that it gets used by a broad base of people. So it's not just about helping the poor and the elderly. We want to make a transit system that is attractive, that everyone will want to get on it. And once we have lots of people using it and seeing how helpful it can be, helping them to not have to buy their second or third, God forbid, car, that's when we'll see a good transit system stay in this province.
Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And this has been certainly an interesting conversation. We didn't get to half of what we wanted to talk about. It's only a half an hour. I think we need to extend the show to an hour. Maybe I just like to talk a lot. I don't know. We'll be back on Monday, everybody. Stay tuned. Linda Swain is in with On Target St. John's next here on VOCM.